From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. The Republican presidential candidates debated last night in Florida, and it was incredibly civil. We'll find out why when we check in with NPR's Juan Williams.
First to the Democrats and tomorrow's primary in South Carolina. Dennis Kucinich is officially out of the race today, and that leaves three candidates. John Edwards was born there, but Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are leading in the polls.
And that presents a difficult choice for African-American women in South Carolina. Scott Graff of member station WFAE reports.
Hillary Clinton's York County, South Carolina headquarters is located in a modest brick building in downtown Rock Hill. Inside the cluttered office, a young campaign worker named Nick Wayne is getting volunteers ready for a phone blitz that will target women.
You know, if they're undecided, you can just talk about why you personally are behind Hillary Clinton, okay. Why you like her.
Today's call list is made up of women who have been identified as potential voters. About half of Democrats expected to vote tomorrow will be African American, and more than half of them will be female.
Some of the things that she really is platforming for are better health care for every American, a better education for our children, more jobs with better pay, which we could all use.
Just up the street from the Clinton headquarters is the Freedom Center. It's a church-run building that houses a school, daycare, and a Christian bookstore. Demetrius McCullough sits behind a desk near the front door.
Good morning, Freedom Center. This is Demetrius. How may I help you?
McCullough says even though she's been watching the candidates for several months, she still doesn't know which one she'll vote for.
It's a tough decision. I like both of them. I love Hillary and Obama. So
McCullough is like a lot of other African-American women who work at the Freedom Center. Any other year, they'd be thrilled to have either Clinton or Obama to vote for. But together, the candidates make for a tough choice. Bernice Oates is an administrator at the church complex. She says Clinton's now famous tears in New Hampshire made the candidate seem more sensitive. Hearing Obama speak takes Oates back to another era.
It reminds me of Dr. King. I get emotional when I hear it, so just hearing him speak, it does something to me.
Political scientists say the candidate who can best reach African-American women will likely win South Carolina. So, over the last few months, the campaigns have reached out to female voters in salons, churches, and at house meetings. Adolphus Belk Jr. teaches political science and African-American studies at Winthrop University in Rock Hill. He says all that attention is overdue.
For the first time in a very, very long time, we see people talking about, from coast to coast, the concerns of black women. And hopefully this will be more than the typical election year lip service, but people began to look more carefully at what these women are thinking about and what they're trying to deal with. Issues of economic security, fear about job loss, wages, children's education, so on and so forth.
Sandra Gordon teaches at the school inside Rock Hill's Freedom Center. She hasn't picked a candidate yet, but when she does, Gordon says race and gender will not be a factor. Others said the same thing. To Gordon, if women make their choice based on anything but the issues, they're making a mistake.
Don't look at what they look like in color. Don't look like what they look like in gender. Go by what they are really stressing in their campaigns and base your decision on it.
Political observers are fascinated that so many members of such a key demographic are still undecided. Some experts think that some women will likely walk into the voting booth tomorrow, not knowing if they'll vote for Clinton or Obama. Bernice Oates, the 56-year-old Freedom Center administrator, says she's been voting in presidential primaries for 30 years and has never had this much difficulty picking a candidate.
If they said I had to vote right this minute, I couldn't. I probably just close my eyes. That's how close it is. I would just close my eyes and do the mix-up thing and punch, you know.
As she speaks, Oates reaches out one of her hands as if to make a random selection of either Clinton or Obama. The candidates would likely prefer a more decisive endorsement tomorrow, but with a key Southern primary at stake, they'll be happy to get votes any way they can. For NPR News, I'm Scott Graff.
We turn now to Farai Chidea. She's the host of NPR's News and Notes, which usually airs from our studios here at NPR West. But this week, Farai is broadcasting from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Farai.
Hey, how you doing, Madeline?
Now, you have talked to all three top Democrats there. And what was it like talking to them one-on-one?
It was really amazing to parse out some of the differences in approach and also to try to get a sense of where they were emotionally. Senator Obama was actually quite frustrated with one of the questions we asked about the now largely debunked conversation about whether or not he was a Muslim and whether he went to a madrasa or an Islamic school. As he pointed out, it's not just about truth squatting this conversation, it's about whether or not the conversation is designed to really smear Muslims. To talk to Senator Edwards, he really brought up how he feels responsible as someone who's a first-generation person of wealth to give back to poor communities, which has largely been a part of his platform. And Senator Clinton really spoke quite emotionally about why she has championed the rights of children, how her mother probably would have been in foster care if her mother were living today. She had a very rough life, her mother did, and that's had a profound influence on Senator Clinton. So it was nice to see the texture of how they spoke and to get some personal stories.
Mm-hmm. And you've also been out and about talking to voters and regular people. And, you know, as we heard in the piece just prior to this conversation, a lot of African-American women are having a tough time making a decision, making up their minds as to who they should choose. What are they telling you?
Well, down here, what we have largely heard is that African-American women are saying, you know, is the candidate pushing my issue? And the top three issues here are education, jobs, and health care.
So when it comes to those issues that you mentioned, which candidate comes out on top for the voters?
We've had people from all walks of life, and we interviewed a lot of students on purpose, who support Edwards, who support Obama, and who support Clinton. So I don't think that you know, any of them is out of the bounds of what people here want to hear.
Because, you know, I read something, actually an editorial in the Amsterdam News, which is an African-American newspaper in New York, saying, look, if African-Americans voted on issues, Senator Edwards should be their leading candidate.
Well, we certainly talked to a young man here who supports Edwards, and we also spoke to actor Danny Glover. And Senator Edwards has campaigned really on this issue of ending poverty, and that's something obviously that African-American voters care about. And as I mentioned, Senator Edwards appears to be moving up actually a little bit on Senator Clinton, but both of those candidates are behind Senator Obama.
You're broadcasting from Columbia, South Carolina, the capital, but did you visit other parts of the state?
We went specifically to Dillon, South Carolina, which is part of what's called the Corridor of Shame. It runs along I-95. There are a whole bunch of rural schools that have been really impoverished, the kind of schools that never meet No Child Left Behind standards. And more than that, the principal of the school, Dillon's Middle School, told us that some of the kids cannot read their full alphabet. These are 7th and 8th graders, and she is outraged. Basically, a lot of the parents have lost their jobs. 60% of the parents in Dillon don't even have a high school education. Also, when we were there, Senator Obama was there for a rally. All three of the top Democratic contenders have come down, and it's a very visible way for them to say education is a priority.
Fry today, a host of NPR's News and Notes, reporting and broadcasting from Columbia, South Carolina this week. Thanks, Fry.
Thanks, Madeline.